Okay, guys. Okay, come. Let me keep this close because thank you, whoever delivered this little chocolate. Let me keep it close because with the air conditioning, if I don't keep it close, it's hard to. I can't really move that. Let's move it here. Okay. Shofar is the hardest mitzvah in the entire Torah. Let's start that way. It may not seem that way. After all, what do you have to do? Just show up. Yeah, but there are literally dozens and dozens of ideas and themes of Rosh Hashanah that you're trying to capture, think about, and associate with a sound. So it's very easy to show up in Rosh Hashanah and hear the sound and think about a million things and let your mind wander off to a million things and probably go to the mitzvah, but not the way the mitzvah was intended. I have to tell you, after mitzvah shofar, I'm exhausted, mentally exhausted. Listening to the sounds, trying not to let my mind run and become distracted, and thinking about all the themes of Rosh Hashanah that the shofar is meant to evoke. Now, the core of all those themes, this isn't exclusive, but the core are Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros. And they each have 10 psukim to help us unfold some of the ideas. A lot of these psukim are familiar to you. A lot of these psukim are unfamiliar to you. So I want to teach you what these psukim are referring to and use that as an opportunity to help amplify and illustrate some of these three themes. And even the psukim that you are familiar with, sometimes those are even more important because you're so familiar, you just become rote and formulaic. So what are some of the things to think about, especially on Sunday? Shabbos as well, because there's no sound of the shofar, but there's still a mitzvah to say psukim. According to Rashi, the mitzvah may be d'oraisa. But it's only on Sunday, where it's the full package of shofar and psukim, shofar and themes. What's the route? What's the journey you're supposed to take? Think about it. Read these psukim. Invest in it. Like everything else in yeshiva, if you learn how to do shofar right this year, you can carry it with you your whole life. If you don't, it's really hard to jump on the wagon, especially if you're not in an environment in which everyone is taking it as seriously as you'd like. Once you know what you're doing, you can create your own little space and your own little mental space and try to get it right. So let's start with Malchios. It's probably the most dominant of the themes. HaMelech HaKadosh, Emiratz Hashem. We're only 48 hours away from just start singing it to yourself the next 2 days so it's not fresh. It's coronating Hashem. In fact, in Yiddish, in Europe, it wasn't even called Rosh Hashanah. It was called the Night of Coronation, the Nacht von Coronatia, which in Yiddish, of course, means coronation. But it's hard because none of us have ever met a melech. None of us lives in fear of a melech. And my apologies to the Brits. When non-Brits hear about royalty, we laugh. And we laugh at how serious you take it, but obviously each culture has its own, but that's just our culture. Whatever. What is Malchus? What are we thinking about? So the 10 psukim of Malchus on your sheet, I'm going to divide them into 5 categories. 5 different elements of Malchus. Some of these categories will only have one pasuk, but they still represent a different theme or facet of Malchus. Okay? If there are extra sheets, maybe, Nachi, send them to, to this side, because I think not everyone got sheets. They're not extra sheets, but you can follow along with the person next to you, and if not, I'll put the sheets up on the recording of this year. The first pasuk and the first category of Malchus is a 4-word pasuk taken from Parshas Beshalach that's unadorned. There's no qualifier, there's no development, there's no enrichment. Hashem Yimloch Leolam Vaed. We return back to the first moment in history when a human audience finally accepted Hashem's Malchus. 2,500 years had elapsed. Humanity was lost in darkness and confusion, theological mayhem, moral degradation. Finally, Hashem waited. We think it takes a few parshas. It is more than a third of history, 2,500 years from creation to the Yom Suf. Finally, one nation willfully accepted Hashem. Finally, one people said, Hashem yimloch li olam va'ed. And we return back to that moment. So imagine yourself standing at the Yom Suf and making history. You didn't make history by crossing the Yom Suf. That was Hashem changing nature. But then you responded, our parents responded, Hashem yimloch li olam va'ed. The Medrash says that at some point Moshe asks Hashem, why are you so obsessed with the Jewish people all the time? You love the Jews and you're worried. So Hashem says, I can never ever forget that moment of Hashem yimloch li olam va'ed, because they were the first and unfortunately at this point the only to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine Jewish identity as a composite of three elements. And those elements are sequenced along a timeline. On the 15th of Nisan, sit down, please sit down. 15th of Nisan, we became a people. Just grab a seat, okay? It's true. 15th of Nisan, we became a people. On the 21st of Nisan, we accepted Hashem's authority. 6 weeks later, from 21st Nisan, Vav Sivan, we received His will and His word. Being a full Jew means you embrace all three of those elements on the timeline. You have a sense of nationhood, you belong to our people, and you feel proud to be a Jew and belong to our people, 15th of Nisan. You accept Hashem's authority, 21st of Nisan, Hashem yimloch li olam va'ed, and you translate the acceptance of Hashem's authority into Torah mitzvos, Vav Sivan, Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. Everyone in this room, Baruch Hashem, is working on building that blend of Tes Vav Nisan, Chaf Aleph Nisan, and Vav Sivan. Jewish identity and peoplehood, accepting Hashem's authority and sovereignty, and translating into Torah mitzvahs. However, not every Jew, unfortunately, has maintained that three-part composite. And many Jews have backslid. So, for example, there are many Jews who have unfortunately walked away from Vav Sivan. And they no longer are able to maintain a classic, orthodox, halachically loyal Torah study lifestyle, like you will, Mitzvah Hashem. But many of those Jews, and you'll meet them this year, especially in Israel, though they may not be standing at Har Sinai anymore, they're still standing at the Yom Suf reciting Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Vod. How many millions of Jews, especially in Israel, though they aren't classically dati, still accept Hashem's authority? Still say Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Vod, they're stuck at Chaf Aleph Nisan. Judaism is like an onion. It has layers. It's not all or nothing. When you daven on Rosh Hashanah, daven for those who can't fully daven for themselves. Think about all, especially in Israel. We have literally millions of Jews who deeply, deeply identify with our people and with Hashem Echad. Well, they don't give every halacha. Without getting into the demographics of it now. Just like there are millions of Jews, unfortunately, who have walked away from Vav Sivan, walked away from Chaf Aleph Nisan. They don't recognize Hashem's authority, but they still deeply, deeply identify as being a Jew with a special mission. And that's for some other time. But think about these four words. The first time that a human audience, this is why the world was created, that human beings should embrace Hashem. And it took humanity 2,500 years to reach Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Vod. And it was only one people. The second category, and you could organize them in your mind how you like. I'm just organizing them so far based on the sequencing. The second category, we return on this day to the last time in history that Hashem's Malchus was uncontested. The last time in history that Hashem's Malchus was universally accepted was the moment the world was created 5,784 years ago, Shabbos. There was no man, yet. No freedom of choice, yet. No rebellion, yet. The world was pure, pristine. Hashem's presence suffused all of creation. And you say it every day in davening. Adon Olam Asher Malach Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. No creatures with a will of their own had been created, no rebellion had been conducted. Azay Melech Shimon Nikra. His Malchus was unblemished. We work our entire lives for Malchus Hashem. This day is our day because the entire world is subject to Hashem's authority, even involuntarily. Because they're all facing Hashem in din. B'chol b'nei Adam yavrin lefanecha kivnei marom. And that means you are embracing that authority. You don't embrace it voluntarily, but you're subject to that authority. But in our imagination, we return back to Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, to that first moment the world was created. Hashem was creator and king. No rebellion. And then, of course, it all went south. There are two psukim that evoke Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, Briyas HaOlam. One is on your list, Pasuk 5, Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. This is Hashem's Malchus, not in a authoritative, not in a warlike manner or an enforcer or a commander. This is the beauty of Hashem's Malchus. It was a pure world, untouched by human hand, untouched by a moral spirit. And Hashem wore glory. Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. Lavesh Hashem owes his Hazar. Af Tikon Tevel. Zeb, you have to go around the other way. I don't think we're... Af Tikon Tevel Bal Timot. Hashem created this world, and it will never disintegrate. We do not believe in gloom and doom. The planet is not headed for Armageddon. It doesn't acquit us from responsible policies and treatment of this world. Hashem wants us to utilize the potential of this world and to preserve it. But Hashem already promised us, and already promised Noach, Af Tikon Tevel Bal Timot. The second pasuk that evokes Sheshes Yimei Bereishis is pasuk number 6. Se'u Sharim Rashechem V'inasu Pischei Olam. Hashem hadn't yet arrived in the world. And the gates of heaven opened. V'yavo Melech HaKavod. Mizeh Melech HaKavod. This is actually the first Melech Pasuk we'll recite on Rosh Hashanah, because we recited the night of Rosh Hashanah. V'yavo Melech HaKavod. Mizeh Melech HaKavod. Hashem Izuz V'gibor. Hashem Gibor Milchama. That's Hashem's Malchus as not an enforcer. We hope there's no war. We hope that Hashem's will is enforced by moral spirit, by moral conscience. The ideal state, you don't need armies, you don't need police, you don't need enforcement. Moral spirit. Hashem Yizuz V'Gibar, Hashem Gibar Milchama. And then the second part of Hashem's Malchus, what I said before. Sushem Hashem Usupeschelem Yavar Malchakav, and Mihir Zemelchav, Hashem Tzavakos, who Malchakavasel. And oh, Gibar, and Izuz, and Milchama. Hashem Tzavakos, he's the creator of nature, and you see him through the beauty of nature and the beauty of his world. So the second jump in our imagination is not the jump to Chaf Aleph Nisan, when the first human community embraced Hashem, but the jump back to Sheshes Yimei Bereishis. Close your eyes when you hear the shofar. The shofar coronates Hashem. Close your eyes and imagine walking in the world as the first human being to be created. Pristine, beautiful, untouched, unpolluted. No rebellion, no disobedience. And you're feeling the full impact of Hashem's creation, both materially and spiritually, because the two, of course, are interwoven. Imagine you were the first person to walk this earth, and you saw Hashem Malach Geos Levesh, or you saw Si'u Sharem Hashechem V'inaso Pischeyolim V'yavo Melech HaKavod. Listen to the shofar, imagine it's a coronation, and imagine you're standing at the moment that Hashem's Malchus, the last moment, was uncontested. That's category number 2. Category number 3 is not looking backward nostalgically at the last moment Hashem's Malchus was uncontested, but looking forward to the next moment in history that Hashem's Malchus will be universal. When's that moment? When Mashiach comes and the whole world gathers and is Mekabel Malchus Hashem, as we say so often in our tefillos. V'yeda kol pol ki atah pe'al tov, v'yavin kol yitzor ki atah yitzar tov, v'yomar kol Hashem. Imagine all your cultural heroes. Whoever you look up to, the sports heroes, the celebrities, whoever you look up to, imagine them coming over to you, maybe this year, and they say, you were right. Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, thank you for having patience, even though we showed you hatred and discrimination. Thank you for your strength of character and your courage to still believe in us and teach us and inspire us about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't believe in the extinction of humanity in the end of days, but in education and inspiration of humanity. Of course, the evil people are eliminated, but we don't try to create extinction.
We try to create inspiration. These
two psukim of Mashiach are 8 and 9, and they're familiar psukim to you, so I'll just read them very quickly. Amalek will be eliminated, and once whatever Amalek refers to is eliminated, Hashem's Malchus will be complete, as the end of Beshalach reminds us.
This
is the third category. Category number one, the first time. Maybe let me switch the categories for you just to make it even more sequential. Category number one, Sheishis and Mebereishis. Category number two, Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem Yimlach Li'olam Vod. Category number three, the terminus of our acceptance and our inspiring the world to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha, vihinaseh al kol ha'aretz bikarecha, vehofa bahadar ge'on uzecha al kol yoshvei tevel artzecha. Category number four is the first shift of Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is all about the shifts. Because Rosh Hashanah is a lot of crosswinds. There's a lot of ideas that seem to be contradictory. Unlike Yom Kippur, which is rather homogenous, Rosh Hashanah is a lot of tension, healthy tension. Hashem is the Melech, I'll call Arif. Azai Melech Shimonuk. Hashem Melech is Sishar Mashachem. Chol b'nei Adam Yavol v'necha kibnei Marom. Every human being passed. And you know what? Hayom haras olam, Hayom yami b'mishpat kol yitziri olamim. Not only are all human beings passing in front of Hashem, not only is it international, universal, it's also cosmological. I promise you that in the furthest reaches of outer space, Rosh Hashanah is felt. Yom Kippur is it. Yom Kippur is for us. In the furthest reaches of outer space, Hayom haras olam, Hayom yaviv mishpat kol yitzirei olamim. I don't know what yaviv mishpat kol yitzirei olamim, but I don't know why gases in some far-off galaxy are being judged by Hashem, but I do know one thing. In 48 hours, you're going to go to sleep at some point, and you'll wake up in about, I don't know, 58 hours, and the world around you will look the same, but it will have been recreated, because every year Hashem recreates the world. The trees will not be the same trees. They'll look that way, but they will have been revitalized by Hashem's annual recreation of our world. So Rosh Hashanah is not just for Jews or for human beings. It's for every single molecule and every single atom, and let your heads and minds and imagination soar across the totality of all reality, because that's what Rosh Hashanah covers. It's broad and it's high. Yet, and I'll quote a medrash, just to set, Rav Soloveitchik used to quote this medrash. The medrash says, in Shemayim, the malachim gather, as we say in the sign of Tokif, malachim yechafesun, b'chil adai yechesun, even the malachim feel it, in ways I can't explain to you, I'm not a malach. And he asks Hashem, when is this day going to start? When is this great day going to start? And Hashem tells malachim, you and I will wait for the Sanhedrin of Yerushalayim to determine whether it's Rosh Hashanah by accepting Aedus, the new moon. And for Rav Soloveitchik, this was a metaphor, not just a metaphor, but it symbolized that despite all the universality and cosmological nature of Rosh Hashanah, it's also our day. Because without us, Rosh Hashanah can't start. Because without a people to embrace Hashem's Malchus, Rosh Hashanah is hollow. And when we decide it starts is when it starts. And this is one of the core healthy tensions of Rosh Hashanah. Is it universal or is it particularistic? Is it Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar that Pasuk will recite in Shofar section? Bakesa, it's the day of Hashem's Kisi HaKavod. Liyam Chagenu, it's our Chag. Ki Chok LiYisrael Hu, Mishpat LaElokei Yaakov. And of course, for a Jew, universality and particularism are not opposites. We were chosen for universal mission, as I told you last week. If you don't have a mission, your chosenness is betrayed. If you don't fulfill, if you don't realize your chosenness, then your mission is hollow. And this is a day that both of those facets surface. What a privilege. On the day Hashem's Malchus is universal, to be the only people that know it. Ashrei ha'am yodei surah, Hashem b'yor panecha yalecha. What fortunate, how fortunate we are. The day that we dream of, or that hopefully we dream of dreaming of, be honest with you, maybe you don't dream of Mashiach yet, but if I gave you a pill and said, do you want to dream of Mashiach? Do you want to dream of universal Malchus? Hopefully you'll grab the pill. And the day we labor for, and unfortunately the day we suffer for, one day, in the end of history, we get a taste of that day every year. When Hashem's Malchus is once again extended over all humanity, even though they don't know it. And we have to daven for the people that don't know what this day means in its full contours, in its full resonance. And that's why here's the fourth category, psukim that describe Hashem's malchus, not in broad terms, but he's our melech. Pasuk number 2. We quote Bilam. Lo hibit aven b'Yaakov, lo ra'a mal b'Yisrael, Hashem elokav imo, v'suras melech bo. You hear this pasuk? It's not about malach yos labesh. It's not Hashem elokav imo, v'suras melech bo. We call him, we blow shofar, he's our friend. Suras melech is a double entendre. It means blowing, it also means re'av, after the re'acha kamocha. Triple entendre, he's our shepherd, Hashem ro'i lachsar. No, he bit oven b'Yaakov, Hashem doesn't see any flaw with his people. Or the next pasuk taken from Zos HaBracha, Vayihi bishurin melech. Spoiler alert, Hashem loves us so much this day, we'll get to it, that we have a lot of nicknames these days. One of the nicknames of Rosh Hashanah is Yeshurun. Yeshurun is a nickname for Yisrael. Yeshurun. When Hashem, the Melech, is with Yisrael, B'sasef Rosh Hashanah, we're gathered together, as we'll gather together in the Beis Medrash, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. That's a sign of His Malchus. That's a coronation of His Malchus. It's an affirmation of His Malchus. You see the shift from the universal and the historical and the cosmological to our Melech. And that's the fourth category. And in fact, there's one pasuk that bridges the first three categories to the fourth category, the universality and the particularism. And that's pasuk 7. That's why I'm not putting it into a separate category. It's a bridge between categories. Ko amar Hashem, melech Yisrael v'galo. Hashem is our melech and he's our redeemer. Galo is a very personal and private experience that we share with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's a melech Yisrael v'galo. The only time that word appears in Malchus. Who is that melech? Ani Rishon, Vani Acharon, Umi Baladai Ein Elokim. I'm first and last and exclusive. And that's the universal. So this pasuk distills both of those components. Ko Amar Hashem, Melech Yisrael B'Golo, Ani Rishon, Vani Acharon, Umi Baladai Ein Elokim. So to summarize, there are four categories. One, Sheishis and Mebrashis, uncontested Malchus. Two, change the order again. The end of days. The end of history. Ve'olam Moshiach Be'har Tzion. Uncontested Malchus. Three. We're stuck in history. We're the only people who have so far embraced Hashem. But we are laboring for that end point that resembles the beginning, because that's how Jewish history is. It's all cyclical. Chayei Sheminu Kekedem. When did we first start this grand mission? Well, we started with the Avos, but as a people, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vayed. We accepted Hashem's Malchus even before our Sinai. Category number four. He's not just a melech al kol aretz. And you see this in Aleinu. Aleinu is the introduction to Malchios. By the way, some say that the tefillah of Aleinu was originally composed for Rosh Hashanah. It was said originally once a year, or twice a year, during Rosh Hashanah, and then at some point it migrated to Shacharis of every day. Because it's really a Rosh Hashanah tefillah. Aleinu l'shevech ladon hakol. L'seis kidulah, shelo asanu kigay eretz us. We're different. It's like in all of Malchus Shakai. We want to change the entire world. L'aver gedolim min aretz. So this tefillah of Aleinu v'Alkein toggles back and forth between Shalom Asanu Kivei Eratzos and L'sakin Olam L'Havir Gilu L'min Aretz. That's the introduction. Now category number 5, you know the pasuk, but you may not know the pasuk in its entirety. Category number 5 is one pasuk. It's the pasuk. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Sounds pretty common, right? You say it twice a day. Yeah, but you don't say it like you say it on Rosh Hashanah. There's a machlokas in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah as to whether Shema Yisrael actually belongs in the section of Malchus. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, and Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, the two Tana and Tamid of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi says it's included, it's a candidate, it's compatible, and he includes it in Malchus and he passes it like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says Shema Yisrael isn't a pasuk of Malchus. Anyone want to guess why? What's missing from Shema Yisrael according to Rabbi Yehuda that makes it the word Melech? Okay, it's an interesting shita, guys, okay? Everyone look at the door, if you can. And imagine Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, walks into the room now. Does anyone in this room have a shadow of a doubt that after the last 2,000 years of Jewish history, and the millions of Jews who have gone to their death defending Hashem's presence in this world, saying Shema, does anyone doubt that at this stage of history, Rabbi Yehuda would not just concede that it is a Pasuk of Malchus Hashem? It's the Pasuk of Malchus Hashem. Of course he would. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi had their machlokas in some base medrash in the 2nd century, the 1st century. But Pesukim changes, history evolves, they're living organisms. Their Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, the Tamid of Rabbi Akiva, was the first person to say Shema on his way to his death. Not really Chan and her children, but we associate with Rabbi Akiva. And since Rabbi Akiva uttered that pasuk, defending Hashem with his last breath, how many millions of Jews have recited Shema Yisrael, standing up for Hashem? Are you kidding me when I say this pasuk? I have to tell you, my knees wobble. My knees wobble. What right do I have to say this pasuk in my air-conditioned base medrash, waiting for a delicious meal with my family? And in my mind, I'm thinking about all the Jews in gas chambers. You've been to Majdanek, you've been to Birkenau and Auschwitz, and you see the scratchings on the wall, and you imagine their last moments, scratching for life, trying to breathe whatever little air they could, screaming Shema. And here I am, just mumbling, Shema Yisrael. Every year, I go to the Beis HaKvaris. I hope I'll be able to go this year early enough, because I'm just very, very busy this week. And I visit Rav Aaron's Kever, and I visit Rav Amital's Kever, and I visit Kivrei Avos, and I visit the Kever of a boy who died on Kiddush Hashem, a Talmud of mine in Yeshiva. And then I go to 5 graves of people I never met. In 2001, during the Sabara bombing, that infamous bombing that everyone knows, even if you were not born yet, you've read about it. There was a Dutch family, father, mother, and 5 children were having lunch, and 3 little children were killed in that blast along with their parents. 5 people lost in a flash, a churban in a flash. I never met them. Why do I go to their kever? Because I heard the following story. One of the boys, you stand at those kvaros and you lose your breath. You read 5 names, they're all the same, same date of death, obviously. One is 2 years old, one is 3, 5. It's unthinkable. It's apocalyptic. A full family of dead people lying next to each other. And a little boy, one of the children, was on the floor of the pizza shop, bloodied and dazed, and he called out, Abba, Abba, help me, I need your help. And the father said, I can't help you, I'm in flames. But stretch your hand out as far as you can, hold my hand, and let's recite Shema together and go to Shemayim B'Tahara. And they weren't the first. That's how Jews went to Shemayim in the 12th century and in the 17th century. And we don't have a death wish, God forbid. We have a life wish to represent Hashem. But if you care about something more than yourself, you have to be prepared to sacrifice your life for it. Otherwise, you don't care about it more than yourself. That's what passion is. Passion is when you care about something more than yourself. I care about Hashem, my people, and my family, more than myself. And I'd be happy if I had to give my life for any of those 3. I hope I don't have to, because I want to live my life for those 3. But if I'm not willing to, then I'm not really living for those 3. I'm living it for myself, my own comfort, my own luxury. That's what passion is. You care. What do you care about more than yourself? And when I say Shema and Rosh Hashanah, I want to think about those kavaras. Because I don't feel like I have the right to go and stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mumble a pasuk that millions of heroes of Jewish history have said on the way to Shemayim, unless I'm standing and I say Tehillim at the Kever and I end up my visit, which is normally late at night, and I'm standing in the middle of this huge cemetery all alone. And I just say Shema Yisrael, and I hope that in Shemayim that has some Kabbalah. I have no doubt that Rabbi Yehuda would walk into this room and say, of course. Of course, of course it's a pasuk of Malchus. 2,000 years ago, it wasn't. But of course, we made it. We turned it into a pasuk of Malchus Hashem by our courage and our bravery. Those are the 5 poles of Malchus to think about. Briyas Olam, Yimos HaMashiach. Kriyas Yamsof, Melech Yisrael V'Golo, Truas Melech Bo. 4. And then finally, Shema Yisrael, And then, of course, the bracha Moloch al kol ha'olam, bottom of page one, kulo bichladecha, inaseh kolos bikarecha, fa bahadar ge'on uzecha al kol yoshvete velotzecha, baruch atah Hashem, melech al kol ha'aretz mekadesh Yisrael. You want a nice way to think about Rosh Hashanah, not just this year, your whole life? Try over Rosh Hashanah when you say the word melech to just be a little bit more whatever, fill in the blanks. Say it a little louder, a little more kavanah. Say the word melech, it rolls off of your lips the whole year. This time, for 2 days, think about Malchus Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam. And ask yourself, this is really important to me. Do I want that world? And if I don't want the world, then how could I be someone that really wants that world? And how can I convert myself into, I want that world. I try my hardest to bring that world. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I don't try hard enough. But you gave me a pill, I take 10 of them. And that's the first theme. The theme of Malchus. The second theme also has significant shifts, and let's see if we can trace them. The second theme is Zichronos. And it starts on a very, very somber and frightening note. And let's read the introduction, because you can't appreciate the continuation without the introduction. Atah zocher ma'aseh olam. Hashem, you remember everything. Lefanecha, I'm going to read these psukim very quickly. You can look in your machzor for the English translation. Lefigach niglo, lefanecha niglo, kol talumos. You see all the hidden mysteries of people's hearts and their psyche and their plans. Line number two, ein shechel v'nekizim modecha. Now that you see everything, you don't forget. Gam kol eitzur lo v'chad, akol goluv etzafui lefanecha. You see through me, Hashem. You see what I did 20 years ago and 40 years ago? You see my deep motivations, you see my selfishness, you see my pettiness. There's no fooling you. I stand in front of you naked. I'm transparent. You see right through me. I can fake this one out, I can fake that one. I can't fake you, Hashem. And not only are you judging me, but you're judging countries. Na'alamadinos, bo yomer. Ezo lacher ve'ezo larav. Which countries will succeed? Which countries will suffer? Just like my wife asked me tonight, how did the shir go? I'm not just going to say this one listened, this one didn't listen. He said the shir was a good shir. They listened, they followed, they paid attention. I judge you collectively. Hashem judges us collectively. You think every person that goes to Shemayim is a personal decision? He deserved to die or she deserved to die? So Hashem takes korbanos. Think of all the korbanos Hashem took this year from our people. But they were bigger Hashem Sham Rishon. Hashem decides to take whoever he decides to take. So this is real. This is fate. Your fate, my fate, our fate, the world's fate. Just in the last week, 5,000 people died in Libya in some tidal wave or some sort, and 2,500 people died in Morocco. Think they're all guilty? Normal, average citizens. And the world continues to teeter and to wobble. And Hashem will decide all of that on Shabbos. So it's really frightening. Milo nifkad. These are the two psukim that break me. These are the two phrases. Line number two, paragraph number two, Milo nifkad kayomaz. It was not going to be accounted for. You can't escape. No one to hide. And then, as you'll hear, the yeshiva has a minhag to sing, Ashrei ishe lo yishkacheka uven adam yisam etzbach. I wish, Hashem, I hadn't forgotten you as often as I did. Ashrei ishe lo yishkacheka. You face the music, you can only run away so long, and all of a sudden, the bill's due. And I look back and say, I wish it would have been different. So this is frightening because it's a day of memory, and the memories aren't that good. Here, guys, is the second major shift. There are three major shifts in Rosh Hashanah. This is the second major shift. We swap the day. We transform the day. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the day of Zikaron? Really? Well, I'd like you to remember this. Because I have some interesting things that I'd like you to remember. All the brisos, all the haftachos, all the love. We take Yom HaZikaron from the threatening, intimidating, who knows what's going to happen, this is all gloom and doom. We turn it into, oh, this is our Yom HaZikaron. We've been through a lot together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've made promises. We've been there for you. You've been there for us. This isn't ending. And all of a sudden, the day changes its color. And they have confidence and love and guarantees and history. And let's read through that sequencing, what we're thinking about. So first of all, before we even think about ourselves as Jews, 9 of the 10 brisos are about Jewish confidence. But the first one, given the universality of the day, pasuk number one, Vayiskar Elokim es Noach, Vayiskar Achaya, Vayiskar Abeira Asher Ito Bateva. Why are we quoting this pasuk? Noach wasn't a Jew. Two reasons. One is, as I said before, this is not just a day for Jews, it's a day for all of creation. But there's a second reason we're quoting the pasuk. You know who else appears in this pasuk? Not just non-Jews, but animals. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Rabbi Amital wrote about this. One of the matters in which shofar shifts our tefillah, please listen to this, because this is core. These are all core ideas of Rosh Hashanah. At some point, if you're honest with yourself, you feel embarrassed to approach Hashem with your human tongue, with all of its artifice and conceit, and all of its presumptuousness and sophistication. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to praise you, and it's me, and I'm limited, my imagination is flawed, and my moral spirit is contaminated. I'm going to approach Hashem. So at some point, I say, you know what? I'm going to divest the human voice. I'm just going to cry out to Hashem in a primordial, basic, instinctual cry. You know what I want, Hashem? No words can capture it, because any words are going to be flawed by the author. You know what I want, Hashem? I just cry out. Guttural, visceral, instinctual, basic. The Medrash says, what made Chana successful that year? She davened every year for a child. Because that year she bargained with Hashem and said, you know what, Hashem, this year I'm not coming and asking you as Chana, wife of Elkanah. Hashem, Chana says in the Medrash, do rats have children? This year, just treat me like a rat. Undeserved. The more presumptuous and expectational your tefillahs are, the more forged they are. And the more fraudulent they are. The more basic and instinctual they are, the more pure they are. And honest and authentic. So when you hear that shofar crying out, that's why we quote this pasuk. The animals on the teva had no zechlios. They had no brisos. They were just stinking, sweating, disgusting animals living in their manure. And all the human beings that lived with them had to suffer that smell, that odor. And no one had tzchios, and Hashem just had rachmanis on that community of people who suffered. So learn to find that voice in your mind, in your heart. Learn that voice, not just these words and that word and this matters and this parish. Of course, they're all complementary. At what point will you be so broken by your failed philos and your failed prospects that you just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't even know what I want. I just know that I want you and I want to live, and you put it all together and help me. And that's raw and real, rather than precalculated, prefabricated philos. And then the second pasuk. And the second pasuk is a major, major shift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in between Noach and Yetzias Mitzrayim, actually created brisos, covenants with our avos. He chose them, they chose him. A bris does not mean you always live up to its expectations. A bris means no one is going anywhere. Marriage is a bris. Our relationship with Hashem is a bris. I said this to you before, I'll say it again, so it sinks in on Rosh Hashanah. There are times in our history we didn't deserve Hashem's love, and he showed it to us anyway, even as a people, as individuals. And there were times in our history he didn't deserve our love, and we showed it to him anyway. When I say he didn't deserve our love, obviously he always deserves our love, but not in a way that we can make sense of in human terms. I know it's some deeper level, but I can't make sense of the Holocaust. I stand in front of the Holocaust and I'm mystified. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu let it happen? And the answer is, I don't know, and I don't care. Because that's what love is. When you love something so deeply, it isn't broken by the inability to explain something, the inability to understand it. You just feel a deep tugging in your heart and a deep connection. A baby does not know why it loves its mother. It just knows that it clings to its mother for support and for warmth. And Hashem created brisos with our avos. And the first time that he recalled the bris is after a 200-year Holocaust. That 200-year Holocaust was Mitzrayim. People buried in buildings, thrown into alligator-infested waters, spat on, raped, degraded, dehumanized, enslaved. Pasuk 2, Vayishma Elokim es Noach Hasan, Vayizkar Elokim es Brisos es Avraham es Yitzchak es Yaakov. The third memory we want Hashem to recall
is a bris not in Shmos, but a bris in Bichul Kosai. That may not seem that momentous to you, but historically it's crucial. Because Bichul Kosai describes Galus, Tochacha. It describes Hashem remembering the bris after we have betrayed him, after we're in the Kitzlarts, after we're in Galus. I'll remember the bris and I'll redeem you. A bris that has already been shattered, but is unbreakable. V'zacharti is brisi Yaakov, v'avas brisi Yitzchak, v'avas brisi Avram, Eskar, v'haretz Eskar. Listen to what you say. V'zacharti is brisi Yaakov, v'avas brisi Yitzchak, v'avas brisi Avram, Eskar, v'haretz Eskar. How many Jews today? How many Jews today are disconnected from the bris of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What merit will they have? The answer is in the end of the pasuk, the Aretz Eskar. Listen carefully. Hashem created the ability for the Jewish heart to respond to land, people, and history, even if they don't respond to Torah, ritual, and halacha. What you're seeing today, as frustrating as it is, and it is frustrating, if it doesn't frustrate you, your religious passion is flawed. It has to frustrate you that our country is secular. It has to frustrate you this anti-religious thing. It has to. But you're not seeing a miscarriage of history. You're seeing Hashem's miracle. There were millions and millions of Jews in the 19th century that were slated for historical oblivion. Religion was collapsing around the globe. Jews were walking out on Judaism en masse. And Hashem had to find some tool to retain their interest, keep them part of Jewish destiny. So Hashem created this ability for Jews. You see it in Israel. You see it in the taxi cab driver who knows Tanakh better than you, even though he doesn't wear a kippah or kippah lacha. And you see it in the pizza store owner who has a picture of the Baba Cherebi and the Baba Sali, and you just know, looking at a real proud Jew who's patriotic and dedicated to his country. And they may not, unfortunately, have the benefit of the bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov because they've walked away from that lifestyle. But for them, V'haaretz Eskar, their commitment to this land, their commitment to our people, their commitment to our history. Daven for them, when you say V'haaretz Eskar, all the Jews, not just in Israel, but all the, how many millions and millions of Jews are there in this world who's only anchored to our people and people who is the country state of Israel? And if you took that away, where would they be? Lost. Lost in history. This is my say Elokim. It's hard sometimes. It's frustrating. You don't see it, but a believer doesn't look with rational lenses. You see things through the prism of prophecy. You see what Hashem promises, and you trace it. Become prophetic. Don't just look at things. Don't just read headlines and assume that headlines reflect reality. They're just inflated headline grabbers. That's not where the world really operates. What happens in the Knesset and what happens in the battlefield, those are just mirages. Those are shells of history. The core is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. And people apply Hashem's Ratzon. And look at the pasuk carefully, and I want to point out another thing in the pasuk. When Yaakov is described as Zacharti is Brisi Yaakov, and when Avram is described as Zacharti is Brisi Avram, but when Yitzchak is described as no Zachira. V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'avas brisi Yitzchak, v'avas brisi Avraham Eskar. So what does Rashi say? A little promo for my shiur tomorrow in Rashi. I'll be discussing some of these specifically through Rashi's lenses, but I'm not going to talk about this tomorrow, so listen carefully. The Medrash says that Hashem, when he remembers Yaakov, he has to, kibayacha, I'm making it colorful, so he has to scratch his head and say, well, who is that Yaakov guy? Oh, he's a really great aunt. Arba Avos. And who is this Yitzchak? Who is Avram? Oh, he was amazing. Yitzchak? Hashem doesn't have to remember Yitzchak. He looks down from the Kisei HaKavod and he sees Yitzchak's Efer. Savro Gav Mizbeach. He sees the ashes of Yitzchak heaped upon the Mizbeach. He's ready to be Nekat. He doesn't have to recall Yitzchak. It's just compelling. It's immediate. This is the second pasuk where my knees wobble. Say Rabboni Shel Olam, Rabboni Shel Olam. If the ashes of Yitzchak, who wasn't sacrificed, the virtual ashes of Yitzchak, because he was prepared to sacrifice, compel you to remember us. What about the ashes of 6 million people who were cremated? What about them? One person who didn't die, but he's prepared to die, his ashes compel you, in a way you don't need Zechira. What about 6 million ashes of people who died because they were Jewish and are strewn across Europe? It's 2023, for goodness. You can't daven like it's the year 900. Things have happened. Update your tefillos. Live through history. Come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah. You're davening 2 generations after the Holocaust. How can you not daven through that lens? Say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at us. You devastated us, but we refused to buckle. And we rebuilt, and we built this country, and we're not going anywhere. And you can murder us, and you can destroy us, but we're not going anywhere. We'll continue to stand for you. So think about Yitzchak, and think about the 6 million more than Yitzchak who actually were burnt. And I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in their schus and in the schus of our people, he should bring Yeshua to our people. You see how we're changing the day. Now I'm pretty happy it's Yom Zikaron Hashem. Because I'm pretty happy that you're remembering schus avos and bris avos. And I'm just going to hustle because we're running a little bit late. And then the third shift. Actually, there are 4 shifts. The first shift was universalism and particularism. The second shift was fright, scary terror, and the reason that we're thrilled that Hashem's remembering. And here's the third shift. And the only way I can describe it to you is to give you a visual. I may have to take a few extra minutes, but it's worth it. Imagine a husband and a wife getting divorced, and they're sitting in this big boardroom, and he's sitting on one side of the table with his lawyers, and she's sitting on her side of the table with her lawyers, and they're discussing custody and alimony and when the divorce is coming down, and the lawyer is speaking, and they get a little aggressive. Okay, here's this document. Remember, this is our right. And here's this document. And at some point, the husband just throws the documents on the table and says, what happened? What happened here? How did we go from loving each other and holding hands and committing to one another our entire lives? We loved each other, and here we are with lawyers attacking each other, defaming each other, slurring each other. Where did this happen? So finally, after we give up HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me, yeah, please remember this bris, and please remember that bris, and this bris, and that bris, and that bris, and this bris, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget the bris! Forget the bris! We're your wife! Just love us! You took us in Ko, Amar Hashem, Zacharti Lachasen, Urayich, Ahavas, Kul, Zayich, Lechtech. You loved us as a wife. We followed you. We eloped with you. We don't know where we're heading. We didn't care. Let's go with you. Well, we just want to be with you, Hashem. You see the shift from this verse, that verse, to just love us. I love my wife. It's not a question of what our covenant is. And you know what else I love? I love my child. My children. Habein, Yakirli, Ephraim. You called us Yakir, you called us Ephraim, Yelet Shashun. You know what a Yelet Shashun is? Maybe you're the Yelet Shashun. There's always a kid in every family that no one can keep, everyone can't keep their hands off. They're pinching and pulling and throwing in your hair. You may be that kid. Everyone likes to throw them around, a plaything. Your younger brother, you, whatever, your little cousin. Because, brother, you can't get enough of us. Yelet Shashun, you always want to touch us and throw us and knap us and pull up cheeks and. We're your son. We're your wife. It's got to be deeper than bris. And then it includes with the big one. V'akedas Yitzchak hayom v'rachamim tizkar baruch atah Hashem zocher habris. We go back to that mountain where it all started, zocher habris. And we have successfully converted the day from fear to confidence. Milon if God kayomazeh, Asher Yisrael ishkacheka, Tazacher kol ishkachos. Wait a second. I'm prepared for this day because I'm a Jew and I have these brisos and I know these brisos matter in Shemayim. And I'm part of that, Hashem, this year more than ever. So you know what? I'm no longer only going to be afraid because you're not walking away from any of the poles, you're just merging the poles. The poles of universalism and particularism, the poles of fear and confidence. The poles of course, brisos, and just love us as a wife and as a child. And now, in 7 minutes, about 10 minutes, what are shofaros? I'll be very brief. Shofaros, which is harlech, of course, it's self-reflexive. Shofar is a shofar. Whenever you hear a shofar in Tanakh, heavenly shofars, the Shekhinah is coming. That's why the introduction of shofaros is all about Har Sinai. And actually in yeshiva, the chazan very often will sing Atana Gleisa to the tune of Akdamas. To get into the Shavua spirit. Atana Gleisa Baran Kodacha Har Sinai Melcha Yisrael. And the first three psukim are all about the shofar heralding the arrival of the Shechina at Har Sinai. And so all the shofaros that announce Hashem's presence. And it happened 3,500 years ago, and it will happen, who knows, maybe this year, maybe in 2 years, maybe in 200 years. But all I can tell you is when you hear the shofar gadol, get to your nearest airport and get on that flight quickly. If you're lucky enough to live in Israel, you're fine. If not, it's happening. All about the shofar. Some of them beckon Jews, some of them beckon all of humanity, some of them devastate the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's all about the last three shofars are about Hashem's final arrival in the end of days. Maybe I'll see it, maybe I won't, maybe you'll see it, maybe you won't, maybe you'll be before Tchias HaMeisim, after Tchias HaMeisim. But I promise you it will happen with more certainty than anything you think is certain in life. Because Jewish history is predetermined. We just don't know who will bring it to its conclusion and when it will conclude. But we all know how it will conclude. And this day, we think about Malchus Hashem reaching its end point. And then I'll just talk about one pasuk, because to me this is the fourth shift, and the most important shift, because it's the shift that encompasses all the shifts. Talked about the shofar being a bestial, instinctual cry for help. Yeah, we'll take a look at these psukim in shofaros. Sounds like it's a little different. Source 7. Halleluhu, b'seika shofar. Sing hallel to Hashem with the shofar. Halleluhu, b'teika shofar. Halleluhu, b'tzotzalei shama. Halleluhu, b'tzotzalei srua. Is it a day of solemnity and gravitas, or is it a day of hallel and joy and simcha? We're saying hallel to Hashem with our shofar. Of course it's a day of joy. Because if you care about Malchus Hashem, this is the greatest day of the year. Everything I could possibly want is happening right before my very eyes. This is a taste of creation and a spoiler for Mashiach. This is the day I wait for. Am I sad this day? Of course not. I dress in my nicest clothing, eat the finest food, and dance. Perek Mem Zayin in Tehillim, we're going to say it 7 times before the shofar. Lam Natzeach, Livnei Kor, Rach Mizmor, Kol Amin Tikuchav. Describing that final scene, then when you reach a pasuk that has the word zmiros 5 times in 2 seconds, zamru elokim zameru, zamru lemalkeinu zameru, ki melech kol haaretz elokim zamru maskil. I'm a maskil. I know what this. I can see beneath the screen of history and nature. I'm thrilled. Zamru, hallelujah, b'seika shofar, alu b'nevel v'chinor. So the shofar isn't just the fearful flight of human artifice and taking refuge in some bestial primordial cry. I'm proud to be your chosen. I'm proud to be a human being, Hashem, and I'm proud to know your coronation. I'm going to celebrate the day. Guys, this, listen carefully, this is the core, the nuclear core of Rosh Hashanah. There are about 80, 50, 70 boys in this room. I promise you, 40% of your great-great-great-great-grandparents, if you go back 300 or 400 years, 40% of your great-great-grandparents fasted on Rosh Hashanah. Yes. They fasted on Rosh Hashanah because they were trying to capture the solemnity and the gravitas. And it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, I'm Mr. Paskin that we should eat. But he still says, you should eat, but you shouldn't eat everything. Just try to walk with. He's trying to capture the two poles. I always announce in my family that we're going to follow the Shulchan Aruch and we're not going to have dessert this year, Rosh Hashanah. And the minute in our family is, my wife always says, we're having dessert. The only time I hear a pasuk like my wife, now I like the Shulchan Aruch. So we're having dessert. Should it be a day of joy, celebration, pride, glory, power, strength? Should it be a day of fear, solemnity, gravitas? The answer is, of course, both. Practically, you have to decide to eat or not to eat. Practically, you have to decide the mood. The mood in Yeshiva Haratzion tilts towards solemnity. If you go to some other heads of yeshivas today, so the Israelis can tell you, it feels like Simchas Torah. There's hakafos in some shuls, in some yeshivas. So everyone has their own way to tilt. But without that combination of the two, the day is hollow. It's just a day of celebration. That's hollow, shallow, empty, vacuous joy. It means nothing. You know where the joy has to come from? It's to come from realizing the gravitas, the power, the glory, the enormity, the magnitude, the majesty, the sweep, the universality, the cosmic nature, the fate, the destiny, the peoplehood, and I am experiencing all that. Then I walk tall and proud, not arrogant. Nehemiah captures it. You're looking for one line to try to capture these two. Nehemiah tells the people who are gathering Yerushalayim on Rosh Hashanah right at the Galus bubble, and they're not sure where the Galus is. He says, don't be sad, al tisablu. Give food to each other. Eat the best meat and drink the best wine. And Shlach Manas Ishray, this is right after Purim, so send gifts to everyone. The al tisablu, don't be crying in Rosh Hashanah. And here he says, I think about this pasuk, well, Rosh Hashanah. Ti chedvas Hashem himoshem. The joy of being back in Yerushalayim, the sitting in front of Hashem, that is your strength. Be strong. There's a glory to the day. There's a power to the day. But it has to come from knowing this isn't Purim and this isn't even Pesach. The pride has to come from knowing that it's Yom HaDin and knowing the weight and knowing the gravitas and knowing the fate. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm so confident in the bris. I'm so confident in Kedas Yitzchak. I'm so confident that I'm able to navigate my way through this with pride and confidence, not by hiding under a rock. Although I feel humbled and intimidated by it. And you'll learn as you grow older, the heart can feel multiple dichotomous emotions. It is so hard to do this. There are so many ideas swirling. Try your hardest. Close your eyes if you need be. Don't. It's a mental exercise. It's really easy to listen to the sound and think about your sports team or your food or your friends or some book you read or whatever. Okay, you're yotzer in this. I can't say you're not. That's not what the mitzvah intends. It's an auditory entry. It's an auditory portal into the imagination. You grab the sound and you associate it. And there's so many sounds. We're being tokeh so often. Take the sound, clasp it to an image. What am I thinking about now? Okay, sound, mysebracious. Imagine walking through this world and hearing Tkiya Shofar and Hashem. Okay, now imagine you're hearing Malach HaMashiach blow the Shofar Gadol. Imagine you're standing on a Kedas Yitzchak carrying the ram and all the Mesiras Nefesh that came from that. Imagine, move, grab, focus, sweat, and put your mental effort into it. And you'll see, you'll walk away. It's a journey through the imagination and a journey through Jewish history and a journey through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. And say, wow, I made the journey. I wasn't thinking, I laugh when I say I wasn't thinking about my apple and honey. Dip the apple, come on. So terrestrial, be celestial, fly. And sit there grounded and stuck in some honey. So much more to the day. That's why I'll just take really 20 more seconds. That's why there are two words I will not say on Rosh Hashanah. You will not hear them come out of my mouth. What are they, Judah? Shana Tova. Shana Tova is for January 1st. Shana Tova is for people that don't get all of this. And for whom Rosh Hashanah is the Hebrew equivalent of January 1st with a little bit of mustard on it, which is fine. I'm thrilled that our broader people in Eretz Yisrael, many of whom don't get this, still mark and celebrate Rosh Hashanah. And you'll see it on all the culture and all the magazines, all the lists of top celebrities and top movies and top whatever. It's become a cultural day. Baruch Hashem. For me, Sivach Sivach Tova. Hashanah Tova Techaseh V'Sechaseh. Sifrei Chayim V'Meisim P'suchim. Kol Bnei Adam Yavu L'Lech Hakim Neim Harav. I'm going to degrade the day to Shana Tova. Please. It's embarrassing to me to say Shana Tova. I feel ashamed to say it. Of course, my whole family says it, but they don't really listen to me. That's all right. I got my own world, and in that world, Shana Tova just doesn't register. Walk up the mountain, stretch your imagination, travel through history, travel through time, travel through this world. Think about all the world that Rosh Hashanah is affecting, and it all depends upon your Tkiyah Shofar, little old you, in the base medrash of Yeshiva HaRetzion. Okay, guys? Shkoach, get some dinner.